Welcome to SNC's podcast series, SNC Critical Insights. My name is Judd Littleton, and I'm a partner in the litigation group and co-head of the firm's appellate practice. I'm here today with my partner, Julia Malkina. Today, we are introducing a series of podcasts to go along with the SNC Supreme Court Business Review. The Supreme Court Business Review summarizes the decisions from each term that are most relevant to businesses and offers practical guidance on the implications of those decisions. We published this term's edition last week.
In this episode, we will introduce our podcast series and preview the upcoming episode. We will conclude with a discussion of one of the most interesting and important business-related decisions from this term, the Supreme Court's June 29th decision in Sale Law LLC versus CFPB. In that decision, the court considered a constitutional challenge to the statutory limits on the president's ability to remove the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Throughout this episode and subsequent episodes, we will discuss the practical consequences of the decisions covered in this term's Supreme Court Business Review and offer guidance for businesses and practitioners on these changes in the law.
So, Julia, do you want to start by talking a little bit about what the Supreme Court Business Review is?
Absolutely, Judd. For the past 6 years, SNC has published a review of the most business-relevant cases at the conclusion of each Supreme Court term. We aim to make the Supreme Court Business Review accessible to practitioners and non-lawyers alike. The review provides concise, one-page summaries of the key cases in plain English and offers practical guidance on how they will affect businesses.
As many of our listeners know, the legal landscape for businesses is constantly changing, and we hope to make the Supreme Court Business Review a helpful way for busy corporate executives, in-house counsel, and other legal practitioners to stay on top of important developments that come from the court.
The review draws on the firm's premier appellate practice, which in turn draws on the experience of former Supreme Court clerks, as well as more than 160 clerks from all 13 federal courts of appeals, and many state courts and international tribunals.
And I will say, it's fun for us to do this together. Julia and I clerked during the same term on the Supreme Court. I clerked for Chief Justice Roberts, and Julia clerked for Justices O'Connor and Breyer.
We also both worked at the Solicitor General's office at the Department of Justice, which represents the United States in the Supreme Court. Before that, I clerked for Justice Kavanaugh when he was a judge on the D.C. Circuit.
You can find this term's edition of the Supreme Court Business Review, as well as the prior five editions, under the publications section at SNC's website at www.solcrom.com.
Now let's talk a little bit about our new podcast series, which is a first for this year. Judd, why did we decide to record these podcasts?
We thought that the podcast would be a way to dig a little deeper into the key decisions and key issues discussed in the Supreme Court Business Review. While we work very hard in the review to distill each decision to a one-page summary, in the podcasts, we can get into some of the nuances of the decisions and expand on their potential impact on businesses and practitioners. And just like the Supreme Court Business Review, we want these podcasts to be helpful for both lawyers and non-lawyers alike.
So how will the series work?
Each week, give or take, we will release a new episode focused on a different practice area. We'll invite other SNC partners who practice in that area to discuss last term's decisions that were relevant in that area.
Can we give a preview of the upcoming episodes?
Of course. So we'll have one episode focused on intellectual property decisions issued by the court this term, including Romag Fasteners versus Fossil Group, Thrive versus Click-to-Call Technologies, and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office versus Booking.com.
We also will have an episode on labor and employment, which will discuss the decisions in Bostock v. Clayton County and Comcast v. National Association of African American-Owned Media. Also on deck is an episode on arbitration with a focus on the decision in the GE Energy case. We'll also have an episode with SNC's Criminal Defense and Investigations Group, which will discuss the Supreme Court's consideration of the SEC's disgorgement authority in lieu of the SEC, as well as the decision stemming from the Bridgegate scandal in Kelly v. United States.
So we have a lot of interesting content coming up in these later episodes, but we wanted to delve into one of the important decisions from this term in this episode. As Julia mentioned, on June 29th, the Supreme Court issued its much-awaited decision in Saylor Law versus CFPB, a case challenging statutory limitations on the president's ability to remove the director of the CFPB.
The court held 5-4 that the four-cause limitation on the president's removal authority violates the separation of powers by unconstitutionally isolating the CFPB director from presidential oversight. But the court stopped short of declaring that the remainder of the statute that created the agency was unconstitutional. The court instead determined that the four-cause removal provision could be severed from the rest of the statute, thus leaving the CFPB otherwise intact.
So to give a bit of background, the Dodd-Frank Act, which Congress enacted in 2010, created the CFPB and gave the agency a unique structure. Unlike other financial regulators headed by multi-member boards, the CFPB is created by Dodd-Frank, has a single director who serves for 5 years and can only be removed by the president for inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office. In effect, this removal provision prevented the president from dismissing the CFPB director at will for whatever reason the president deemed appropriate. And given the 5-year term of the director, it also meant that a president could serve an entire 4-year term in office without having an opportunity to nominate a new director.
In 2017, the CFPB structure became the central issue in a dispute between the agency and Saylor Law LLC, a California law firm that provides debt-related legal services. The CFPB issued a civil investigative demand to Saylor Law, seeking information about unlawful debt relief practices. When the CFPB sued to enforce the demand, Saylor Law argued that the demand was invalid because the agency's structure is unconstitutional.
A federal district court in California disagreed, and the Ninth Circuit affirmed the district court's decision. But the Supreme Court granted review in the case to decide whether the four-cause removal provision in Dodd-Frank violates the Constitution's separation of powers, and if so, whether that provision could be struck down or severed without striking down the rest of Dodd-Frank.
Starting with the four-cause removal provision, the court explained that Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution vests the full executive power in the president and generally requires that the president maintain unrestricted removal power over lesser executive officers. The court had previously recognized two limited exceptions to this unrestricted removal power. First, expert agencies led by multiple officers balance on partisan lines, which is the structure agencies such as the Federal Trade Commission employ. And second, inferior officers with narrowly defined duties, such as independent counsel. But the court found that those exceptions do not apply to the CFPB.
As a reminder, when Congress created the CFPB, it vested a single executive officer with broad powers, including the authority to issue binding rules, make final administrative decisions, and seek large penalties in court. The court described the structure of the CFPB as a historical anomaly that was incompatible with our constitutional structure because it made the CFPB director not fully accountable to the president or Congress, and thus not fully accountable to voters. So the court held that, in the case of the CFPB, its leadership by a single individual removable only for inefficiency, neglect, or malfeasance violates the separation of powers.
Next, the court addressed whether the four-cause removal provision was severable from the rest of Dodd-Frank. That is, whether the court could find the removal provision unconstitutional, but still uphold the remainder of the statute. The court concluded that the provision was severable, and as a result, upheld the constitutionality of the CFPB as a whole. The court noted that Dodd-Frank contains an express severability clause. In the court's words, "This makes clear that Congress would prefer that we use a scalpel rather than a bulldozer in curing the constitutional defect in the removal provision." Hence, the court explained, although the CFPB director must be removable by the president at will, the agency may continue to operate.
So although the court's decision did not strike down the entire CFPB as an agency, the decision still has several important ramifications for entities regulated by the CFPB and perhaps other federal agencies as well, First, because the president is now free to remove the CFPB director for any reason or no reason, presidential elections may have a more significant and immediate effect on the work of the agency, including its policy goals and enforcement priorities. So businesses subject to CFPB regulation should be prepared for the possibility of such shifts with the arrival of a new presidential administration.
Second, some questions remain about the validity of the civil investigative demand issued to CELA law, and by extension, other CFPB actions taken while the director was unconstitutionally insulated from presidential removal. Thus, regulated entities may be able to challenge the validity of CFPB investigative or enforcement actions that are currently proceeding or have concluded against them.
A similar situation arose after the court's 2018 decision in Lucia versus SEC, which held that the SEC's administrative law judges must be appointed consistent with the Constitution's Appointments Clause. After Lucia, parties involved in proceedings before the SEC and other agencies used that case to challenge the validity of decisions made by unconstitutionally appointed agency officials. In response, the Solicitor General issued guidance that agencies should seek voluntary remands in all cases where a party had raised such an argument in a timely manner, but should contest such arguments on forfeiture grounds when the party did not properly preserve that argument.
Some courts have dismissed post-Lucia Appointments Clause challenges as forfeited, so parties seeking to challenge the validity of CFPB action under CELA law should ensure that their arguments are properly raised and preserved.
Finally, beyond the CFPB, the court's broad language about the importance of presidential removal powers in CELA law may encourage challenges to similar removal protections for other agencies' leadership.
For example, the court noted that the Federal Housing Finance Agency is also led by a single director, removable only for cause, the same structure that CELA law invalidated. In a recent decision, Collins v. Mnuchin, the full U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit held that the structure of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, or FHFA, was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court recently granted certiorari to decide whether the FHFA's structure violates the separation of powers and whether courts must set aside a final agency action that the FHFA took when it was unconstitutionally structured.
The court in CELA law also identified two other independent agencies, the Office of the Special Counsel and the Social Security Administration, that have similar structures. Going forward, parties may try to use aspects of the court's reasoning in CELA law to challenge for-cause removal provisions that apply to the heads of these and other independent agencies.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to S&C's Critical Insights. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com. Please also join Judd, me, and our guests for upcoming episodes of our Supreme Court Business Review podcast series. The upcoming episodes will focus on last term's intellectual property, labor and employment, arbitration, and white-collar cases. Thanks again for joining us today.